And it reads, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reckoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshiped as he leaned on top of his staff. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a time to celebrate and to recognize the impact that fathers have made in our lives. We look to you, our Heavenly Father, first and foremost, as a perfect example of love and care and concern for his child. We thank you, Lord, for the many examples you've given to us on this life. And wherever we are, wherever we stand, whether father is present in our lives or not, Father, we're thankful that you've given us the perfect model in yourself, that you've showered us with love, that you've shown us exactly how we ought to be. And we celebrate the men who've taken this responsibility and have continued to receive and give love, receive and give instruction, that they've reared their children in your way, Lord. Thank you for your gifts that you've given to each of us, especially those around us that have encouraged us and helped us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I had a little moment a little while ago, just sitting there and just thinking about my dad. And I'm thinking about my father. I'll just be honest with you. I had a little moment this morning. Same thing, thinking about my dad, and probably many of you, if you find yourself in my same position, have had your moments also. I stumbled across a video this morning that kind of had me in tears, and it was about this place. We were walking in, and my father and a friend of his had come in, and he was viewing this congregation for the very first time. And I'm listening to his voice, and I'm hearing his encouragement, his love, his support for what we were doing as we were coming together as Green Bank Church of Christ. And I just started thinking about fathers and fatherhood and how imperfect it is, and how imperfect we are, speaking as a father, representing all other fathers. I recognize something that there is, even in the best of fathers, you see so much. Sometimes we can idolize and look at men and women as heroes, and oftentimes forget the flaws. Forget that we're all made up. We're all, Brother King used to always call it, we all suffer the human condition. So it means we're all flawed. And I'm saying that because there was a time that I remember I was angry with my father. I was angry with him so much so that it stopped our relationship because I was angry at things that happened in the past. And I forgot that he was human. I just let that sink in for a little bit. I forgot that he was human. And then sometimes as we look at others, then we forget we're human. And that we all suffer in this human condition. That's why I love the book of Romans. Isn't that really what Paul is trying to share? We're all messed up together. Jew, Gentile, black, white, it doesn't matter. We've got it all, and our source of strength and our encouragement and our help is all found in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it doesn't, you know, and so nevertheless, all of us have to realize that we're a mixed bag of goods, but God can redeem that mixed bag of goods. God is in the redeeming business of taking trash and making it into treasure. And we're thankful for that. And I'm thankful for men that have poured into my life, including, of course, including my father in heaven. And my earthly father. Want to look at some men of faith, and thank you, brother, for leading us with the youth. Doesn't he? First of all, he does a wonderful job with the youth and reminding us. Thank you so much, Mike. It's a great blessing to be able to see that and be reminded of the fact they're not just here because we're here. They're part of this church, and it's so good to visibly be able to see that on occasion. I want to look at Abraham as one of the mighty men. Abraham, many faiths bring and name Abraham as one of their fathers. And of course, as we look at our faith, we see Abraham and his strength. We look at the fact that Abraham, while he is the great father of faith, and you know, when you remember the worship, the Mount of Transfiguration, who were the three that were there, right? Moses and Abraham. That here you have a great father, a great man of God, and he was faithful to God. He was told, leave your country. To go where? To go where? Oh, no. To go where I tell you to go. That's where. Go where I tell you to go. And so Abraham didn't have it all. He didn't have it all lined up, didn't have it all, you know, charted out. This is what we're going to do. This is how long we're going to stay. This is how we're going to accomplish this and accomplish that. He didn't have all of that. His whole dependence was on following God. And I want you to see something that in following God and sometimes not knowing every single twist and turn and all the things that happen, you know, one of the things that he did was continue, the song says, is hold to God's unchanging hand. Holding on to God's changing hand sometimes takes you on a journey into places you never even suspected. You know, he was journeying through Egypt and all of a sudden, you know, some people came and confronted him and about this woman he was with, and he lied. He lied, fearing because his wife was so beautiful, fearing that they would try to take him and bring harm to him. And so he lied. He called Sarah his sister rather than his wife because of fear. And I want to say this because this is one of them moments that you can kind of point back to and go, look, this faith filled man messed up. This man of great faith messed up. And that's exactly where I want to be. Brothers, sometimes someone can look and point at the flaws. I just feel like just like getting real down and dirty today, this morning, if you understand what I mean. Because sometimes I think men are looked at by our society, undervalued, underappreciated, you know, and oftentimes we get a bad rap. You're the unsung heroes is who you are. Listen, you're the unsung heroes. Your presence is needed, even if no one else tells you. God has told us and encouraged us and shown us that our place and our value is great and immense. I know we go to the virtuous woman and we go to all her qualities and all that, but guess what? He's a leader at the gate. Dad was a leader holding it down for the family at the gate where others would coming around and commerce and business was happening. He was providing and taking care of in a different way than the mother, but in a way that is foundational and important. And I'll tell you what, if you take a man outside of the home, that home is going to feel it. Men need to be celebrated. Your manhood needs to be celebrated. Your position needs to be celebrated. And if anyone else doesn't celebrate it, hey, first of all, God already has. God has given us the instruction, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, right? But rear them up in the way of the Lord. Who's that given to? Fathers. The charge and the responsibility is given to us in the home. When the Lord came back and started after Adam and Eve sinned, he didn't come back asking Eve any questions. Adam, where are you? Why am I saying all this? Once again, I think manhood is devalued. And it's important that as we recognize, you know, our value, that we look at ourselves, because we won't live up to certain things if we don't see, you know, mama's taking care of it all and I don't have no part in this. That's a lie. That's that, show me that in the Bible somewhere. Amen. And so anyway, I done got off. Let me get back on to where I was. But we're looking at this man named Abraham, and one of the things he shows us is this model of unwavering faith for each of us. You know, there's a book series, The Power of a Praying Father, Power of a Praying Mother, Power of a Praying Grandmother, and all that. And what I want you to see is that your influence as a father goes beyond even your days on this earth. Today, this morning, I'm listening to my father, I'm listening to his voice in the background, and I'm hearing the excitement that's in his voice be based upon what we're doing and what I'm doing. I'm seeing an encourager encouraging me to continue on this path, because we were in murky water trying to figure this whole thing out at early, and he's saying, man, go for it, go for it. Look at what God is doing, go for it. He was an encourager to me, and many of you that knew him knew his encouragement. That was just part of who he was. And so that these legacies, these models are so important for us. I don't know why I'm preaching about my father so much. Let me keep moving. And then Isaac, mighty man of the Bible, patience, peaceful. Patience, peaceful, as he's being laid onto an altar to be sacrificed. Dad, what are you doing? Dad, where are we going? Shh. Come on. Listen, I cannot think that Isaac just readily said, hey. I mean, excuse me, let me say it like this. He had to have said that. I was completely going in the opposite direction. He had to have said that. I can't see Abraham forcing his son to get on there, knocking him upside the head and throwing. No. He had to willingly go and be like, well, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why you're doing this, Lord, Father, but I'm listening anyway. Right? Are there some avenues and some journeys and some things that God pushes us to that we have no idea, and yet we just say, well, I'm going to go anyway. Let's see what happens. Because why? Because my trust in you is so great. His trust in his father was so great that even as he's laying him on this altar, he willingly goes. He was a great man of faith. All of these men we found in this hall of faith. But yet, even with that great patience, he had a great flaw. He favored Esau over Jacob. And this caused great, great conflict in his family. He was a mixed bag of goods, too. And then we look at Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes. Right, and now he's Israel. He's the one who wrestled with the angel. He's the one that you know. I mean, when we hear these stories, I mean, imagine you talking about your father like that, man. He wrestled with an angel, and I mean, you're telling the story like my dad. And then that same dad, as you're extolling his virtues, looks to the other son and gives him more favor than you. How would that hurt? We see a great man that's flawed. I'm going somewhere with this, y'all, so y'all just stay with me on this journey. David, courageous in battle. I mean, we know his bravado, we know his strength, we know the story, the songs that were sung about a good old David. His prowess, his ability to in battle, to scheme, and to, you know, all of that. He was, I mean, they sung songs about David. We see him defeating Goliath, right? That's probably his signature story, David and Goliath, right? Victorious. And yet we remember on that balcony as he's looking at Bathsheba, and you see the fall. You see a man, mixed bag of goods, strong in all of that, but yet weak in some other areas. I'm bringing this to say, look, there are some, everyone's coming this day, on this day, with different thoughts about dad, different thoughts about yourself as a father, whether you're ready to take on this responsibility, this great challenge or not, right? You're thinking about, you know, the good and the bad, because guess what? We're all a mixed bag of goods. No matter how the exterior looks and how good it looks and how smart he looks and how smart she looks and how accomplished he is or how accomplished she is, we're all a mixed bag of goods. And the difference in these men that I've placed before you that were all flawed is their foundation. Listen, you're going to come in, I'm going to talk to the young ladies right now. You're going to come across a lot of men out there, a lot of men that are going to be looking, a lot of men that will be courting you, a lot of men that will desire to have you. But what you need to be looking for is a man whose first eyes isn't on you, but on him. And if his first eyes are on him, If that guy's eyes are on the Lord first, his foundation is on the Lord, you've got something to work with then. Amen. Because here's the thing. Beauty fades. Right? I know you're cute. Well put together. But beauty, that external beauty fades. Sometimes we'll go into a relationship and, you know, you've got something and he's got something and all that. And if it's only about what y'all have and it's only about your looks or your money or your this or your that and all that, and that's the thing that drew them together, what happens when that drew you together is gone? When the beauty is gone, when the money is gone, if that's the foundation, when it's gone, what do you have? But if the foundation is on the Lord first, amen, you've got something to work on, that when the winds blow, that when the rain descends and falls down and the floods come up and winds beat upon that house, you've got something to stand on, because there's a sure foundation that's there. If you're looking, ladies, once again, if you're looking for a man, look for one whose eyes are on God. And you, as the brother, the young brother now, yeah, I'm going to have to talk to the audience, because I need to talk to some more young brothers out there. Amen. But to the young man, put your eyes on the Lord and his work, and allow God to bring to you who he would have you to be with. This sermon is forming in different ways, but I'm going to go with it anyway. I don't care. It must be a reason it's moving in this direction. Now I'm going to go back to the scriptures. Okay? David, this man of God is showing us, and all these men have shown us what it is to be full of great faith. But they've also showed us that a man full of faith, that men full of faith can also have mistakes. There are some of you that came in this morning with a view of your father, your earthly father, a negative view. Maybe he did something. Maybe he was raised up in a way, and so the way he lived wasn't the way you would do things today. Listen, I don't do the same things the way my father did. And I'm sure my son is going to say, I'm not doing some things the way my father did. And so there ought to always be a little bit of learning that goes on from generation to generation, not to repeat the pains of the past and the mistakes of the past. That ought to always be there for us. And so we ought to, but at the same time, we also have to recognize, at least I had to, that some of my father's ways were based upon his upbringing, and there's nothing I can do to change that. The only thing, you know, let me stop talking in code and just talk. I had a situation with my father that really, really, really affected me, and it hurt me to the core. And our relationship was stifled because of some things that had happened. And for years, my father and I didn't have a relationship. And it wasn't until God just opened the door for us to be able to communicate and to talk. He came and lived with me for a little while, and he shared with me the whys of some of the things that happened in the past. There were times where us as children, Dad wasn't there. He wasn't available. He would make promises and he would break them. And, you know, as children, you're going back and forth. And then finally got into my teens and I just said, you know what? Who needs him? Who needs Dad? You know what that is, right? That's really me saying, I really know I need my father, but I'm tired of the hurt, and so I'm going to put up this wall of defense so I don't have to feel that hurt anymore. So screw, oh, I'm so sorry. Forget him. But I thank God that in his latter years, we reconciled. I thank God that I had the opportunity to be able to speak with him and that we were able to have some tough conversations. Didn't mean it excused everything that happened in the past, but it did mean that we could now move forward and have greater in the future. And while he has passed, I relish those years, those last years. It didn't excuse everything from the past, but it showed me something. And then as I look in the mirror, I recognize I'm not the perfect father. I love my children, I provide for them, but I'm by no means perfect. And then when I look at someone else, I know you're not either, right? So what is this all about? This is all about saying, look, you are valued. And sometimes what happens is when we're being told that we're not as valued or not as important, we start to live up to those things or live down to those things. And so my desire today was, you know, to show and to provide examples and to remind our men and fathers of your great importance. You're needed. And even if you say, well, man, I can't have any biological kids of my own, you're needed. There's a brother to your left or to the right or to the front or to the back of you that needs a word of encouragement from another man. I know we get a lot from women. Amen. Thank you, women. Thank you. I'm serious. Thank you. But there's something a man can tell me and give me and show me and help me with that I could never learn from a woman. There's a perspective that we can give to one another as men that you can't get from a woman. Let's just be real. And so, brothers, you're needed. You're important. You're foundational in the home, in the church, in our community. I'm just going to close it right there. Brother, you are needed. You can be a mighty man of the Bible. Matter of fact, when the words were given not just for Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all those that are mentioned in the Bible. They were not given for them. They were given for us. This word, the example, all this, the admonitions, they were provided for us to learn from us to be able to pick up the good from and to leave behind the bad and to try our very best, but to keep in front, center, and foundation, Jesus Christ in everything that we do. You're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to be flawed. Don't allow that to overwhelm you and do like Judas did and go take himself out, but do it like Peter did. Use his mistakes, use all that to now be even greater in the kingdom of God, to do greater things in the kingdom of God because you've learned from those things. You've learned the mistakes, and now you have a different perspective that you can share with someone else that might be going through those things. I'm going to just leave this message here for you. I know I didn't do justice to what I wanted to do. But I hope you heard what was said and that you take it to heart. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the reminders. Like this, these holidays, these special days to remind us of different things. And in this case, Lord, that reminds us of the great importance that men and fathers have in our lives, in our households. The great importance that fathers have in the church. Fatherhood is one of the key areas that you use, Lord, in order to help determine whether someone is even able to be a leader in your church. So you place great value on fathers, on manhood. And Father, we pray that we might also see the great responsibility, the charge that you've placed in our hands. Help us, Lord, even if we don't have children of our own, to find others that are in need of direction and guidance and encouragement that we can to be mentors to be able to help them to be the men that they need to be. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being a father to the fatherless. Thank you, Lord, for being our God and our model and our strength and our help when we're weak. Thank you, Lord, for always being our foundation. And Father, I pray for those who don't know you and don't have you as a foundation to be able to go to, especially when times are tough, Lord. I pray that others might come to the recognition that they have a need and a desire. They have a desire first and a need for you in their lives. Thank you, Lord. Bless, God, protect, watch over, and keep us all in your loving care. We pray and ask all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.